This is the Marketplace Morning Report. I'm David Brancaccio. We watch one movie a month for Econ Extra Credit, a textbook's worth of economic, business, and social history lessons from this month's film, the documentary The League. It's about baseball's Negro Leagues, which flourished amid the segregation of the first half of the 20th century.
So black businesses come into being in that period of time, found it for themselves out of their own resources, black schools, and baseball, too.
One of the voices in the documentary is Bob Kendrick, president of the Negro Leagues Baseball Museum in Missouri. Mr. Kendrick, welcome.
Well, thanks so much for having me on the show. It's an honor.
So many Americans were facing so much hardship during the Great Depression, but for already disadvantaged communities, it was even harder. How did the Negro League outfits respond?
Black baseball had such a tremendous ride from its formation when Rube Foster established the Negro Leagues in 1920. And then it was almost like the perfect storm for the Negro Leagues. Rube Foster gets sick and subsequently passes away. You know, in and around 1930, the Great Depression occurs. And by 1933, though, Gus Greenlee, who would own the Pittsburgh Crawfords, comes back and, in essence, revitalizes the Negro Leagues. And he really kicks it off with the creation of the East-West All-Star Classic. So it debuts the same year as Major League Baseball's All-Star Game, 1933. And as I remind folks, yes, it did outdraw Major League Baseball's own All-Star Game.
Also adding energy during this time is barnstorming, right?
Of course. And that's how the Negro Leagues were kind of still able to survive during those difficult and challenging times. But barnstorming remained a prevalent part. Well, number one, it had always been a prevalent part of how folks got to see players from the Negro Leagues, because the Negro Leagues were heralded barnstormers. And I remind folks all the time that through barnstorming, the Negro Leagues helped grow the fan base for baseball, because they were literally taking baseball to communities that had never seen professional baseball. You know, folks knew that this was a high caliber brand of baseball, and they put it on display. And as a result, they were helping grow the game in the process.
A lot of excellence on display, a lot of energy, as we say, but the streets were not paved with gold. You know, watching this documentary film, you see Hall of Famer Hank Aaron talking about life was kind of hard there in the Negro Leagues, especially on the road.
Oh, it was challenging. And really, the challenges came as they were traveling the highways and byways of this country. They could ride into a town, fill up the ballpark, but yet not be able to get a meal from the same fans who had just cheered them, or not have a place to stay. So yes, they would sleep on the bus and eat their peanut butter and crackers until they could get to a place that might offer them basic services. But as I remind our guests here at the Negro Leagues Baseball Museum, they never allowed that set of social circumstances to kill their love of the game. I'm going to keep playing ball. You can't rob me of this joy of playing baseball.
Bob Kendrick is president of the Negro Leagues Baseball Museum on East 18th Street in Kansas City, Missouri. He is featured prominently in the documentary we're watching this month called The League. Mr. Kendrick, thank you so much.
Thank you guys for having me. It was an absolute pleasure.